Take your Bible, open with me to Luke chapter 1. I want to read verses 26 to 38. We don't often come to this passage until Christmas time, but I think it behooves us on Mother's Day to look to the greatest mother who ever lived, and that is Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus. There's a lot we can learn from Mary. And I selected the topic of Mary because of the day and the hour in which we live. Mary is noted to be associated with great joy, but also great sorrow and grief. And I don't think there's been a time in recent history that we have seen such sorrows as we have in these days with what is happening all across America with shootings and tragedies and natural events that destroy homes like tornadoes and hurricanes and things of that, not to mention the wars, and especially the war in the Ukraine. Mothers, I think, suffer the most because it is they who sense the loss greater than anyone else when it's a child. And so this morning, I want to speak on the subject, Mary, the mother of Jesus. Follow along as I read Luke chapter 1, 26 through 38. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be? Seeing I know not a man. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Let's pray. O Father, we know that this is not fiction or fable, that even in the day in which we live, angels are here unaware. But we thank you, Mary accepted this high calling to be the mother of the incarnate Jesus Christ, your Son, the Son of the living God. Lord, we must come to the conclusion that if you, the God of the universe, the God who has created everything that we know and see, selected Mary to be the mother of the Lord Jesus, she had to have the qualifications of a great mom. Lord, help us to glean today for all of our sakes, but especially to encourage our moms, the truths that we can gather from the life of Mary. Bless thy people, we pray. Hide me behind the cross. Have your way in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we can all be encouraged, I believe. There is good news. It's on the horizon as well. And it pertains to our mothers. We have all heard about the proverbial fury of Mama Bear when her cubs are attacked or in danger. Well, it turns out that the human Mama Bear is twice as lethal. And I think in these trying times, we note that moms are standing up and fighting for their children, fighting to protect them, fighting to nurture them, as a mother knows she should. And they have roared about the CRT and fought against school boards, shoving sex education down five-year-olds. These boards and politicians have learned that she is a power to be reckoned with. And mom has backup, doesn't she? She's got Papa Bear. Mama gets Papa Bear and the neighbors and the relatives to get on board and to fight back, because moms love and want to protect their children. Amen. And I understand this is a controversial issue, and I respect both sides, but I lean on the side that God gave parents the responsibility to raise and nurture their children in the admonition of the Lord. If you don't believe that, go read Deuteronomy chapter 6. God gave Moses this instruction to give to the people of Israel, who have been an example to humanity since God chose them. Thank God for our moms. I thank God for what we're seeing today. Moms having courage, tenacity, and fight in them. Why? Because they love their children. And that is an example of how God loves us as His children. Today is Mother's Day, and it's a day to celebrate American mothers all across our nation. And I just ask God, bless you and strengthen you. I want to wish you each a happy Mother's Day, and I hope that this day is special and different than all the rest. Now, while we certainly want to honor moms and elevate motherhood today, I recognize that this is also a very tough day for many people. Maybe you do not have your mom with you. You cannot hug her and visit with her because of a number of reasons, maybe distance or illness. Or maybe your mom is home with the Lord, like my mom and my mother-in-law. We miss them very, very much. But they have not left us. They are here in spirit with us in our memories, and they are part and parcel to what has made this church what it is today. There's many of these moms absent physically, but we know spiritually they're with us. Hold on to that truth. And then there's another category. Others may have had a mother who did not know how to love or to care. Don't dread Mother's Day because of that. Instead of focusing your situation on the past, praise God that you've become the mother He wants you to be, that you broke the cycle, amen? I find that that is a wonderful truth that we don't teach enough in our churches, that God has called believers to break that cycle of dysfunction, to break that cycle of anger, to break that cycle of evil that has come down through generation, and those who are born again can do that. Amen. So praise God for that, that you broke the cycle and that you were able to raise your children as a godly mom. So elevate motherhood today. Don't look at it with disparity. We need to start embracing what God has told us in the scriptures about the role of motherhood. And so today I'm speaking on the subject Mary, Mother of Jesus. And when I I think of who in the Bible is the greatest role model for mothers, it has to be Mary. We said a little while ago, we were living in an era of much sorrow throughout this nation and even around the world. I think moms suffer the hardest. And even though I know loss is different for everyone, I still think they feel it the most. They are the ones that bear our children. The life of our children are in them for 9 months. Mary was, of course, familiar with great sorrow. She watched as her son was tortured and beaten and crucified upon a horrible cross. Yes, she experienced great joy at the birth of Jesus. And being the mother of the Son of the Living God, came to redeem a lost humanity, but it came at a price. And we are living, I believe, in a time where moms are encumbered with great and unexpected challenges, and so you need to look to Mary. She was a mother known to deal with grief and sorrow. And as much as I hate to stand in the pulpit and tell you that we're living in the time of sorrows, I cannot lie to you, because Jesus told us in John chapter 14 through 16, in Matthew 24 to 26, that before the great tribulation comes, there will be a time of sorrows. There will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be earthquakes and tragedies and famines and pestilence. And have we not already lived through a lot of that? And they have brought about times of sorrow. Our church has experienced it, but we're not alone. But again, I think it's mom who carries it the greatest. I quote today from Shannon Bream's book, The Mothers and Daughters of the Bible. I understand some of you won those as prizes yesterday. I read her chapter on Mary and Elizabeth and then Mary for this sermon. And I wanted to read just this short statement, and then I have an excerpt from her book that I want every mom to really, really listen to. Because I read it in light of you and what you need. But I quote from Shannon Bream's book, quote, Mary's greatest honor and yet greatest source of grief was being the mother of Jesus, unquote. I glean from that, we have to take the good with the evil. That the world that we live in has both. And you're setting yourself up for a fall if you think you're exempt from that. Mary wasn't. Mary, because she exhibited a strong and godly character, was called by God to raise the Christ child. He chose a woman who lived in the town of Nazareth. You read that with me from Luke. And two times in the text that we read, Gabriel told Mary she was highly favored by God. Amen. Highly favored by God to be the mother of our Lord Jesus. God who would take upon himself human form. Totally God. And remember, he wasn't 50% God and 50% man. Fully God, fully man. You will never understand it apart from the wisdom of God when we get to see him face to face. But that is the truth. What was it about Mary? Why did God select her above all other mothers? You have to ask yourself that question. What is it in her character that God would choose her among all the other Jewish women? Of course, we do know, if we really study this out, that the selection was within a parameter of those who were in the line and the lineage of David. Amen. So you have to understand that. But I think what we'll find is that Mary was a humble woman. Pride, Bible says, goeth before a fall. We kind of paraphrase that verse. But it is true. Pride goeth before a haughty spirit. A haughty spirit is a spirit that is full of self. And a haughty spirit goes before a fall. Mary was humble. She didn't feel worthy. You know, whenever I have the duty as a pastor to select the deacon for the church, I'm not looking for a Bible scholar. Now, I certainly want the person to know their Bible. I'm looking for humility. I'm looking for a servant. Someone who's not so caught up about being served as they are to serve. Do you know that God selected Mary, and Mary raised a son who said to us that he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many? Jesus Christ accepted his calling, his mission from the Father with humility. And so did Mary. The message today will examine these qualities that Almighty God saw in this dear sweet woman. And these are the same that our Heavenly Father desires for mothers today. We look at Mary's visitation and we see that God dispatched an angel. This was too important a message to even send a prophet or a priest or a rabbi. And so God, in verse 26, on the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God. Folks, angels do God's bidding. They're not mysterious, fictional creatures. They are real. A number of times we've had Bible studies on the subject of angelology. Angels are among us. And I believe they're with us even today in our service, protecting us, putting a hedge about us. Although I want to speak to the one who's in charge of the electronics. I think he was down at Dunkin' Donuts having a coffee break. But anyway, they are with us and they do worship with us. And God dispatched one of the highest angels. We know Gabriel to be an archangel of God. There are higher ranking angels. You have your seraphim, your seraphim and cherubims. You have your archangels. And then we have our regular angels who are messengers of God. Now Mary was born after the golden age of Israel's history. A nation of Israel and Judah were but small in the eyes of the world. Remember, at this time, Rome ruled the world. It was a world empire. And Israel was basically a thorn in the flesh of Caesar. No king had ruled in Jerusalem for over 500 years. By the way, God's going to compensate for that because Jerusalem is the eternal city and it is an eternal city. And that is why you're going to see over and over and over again as we get toward the latter days that Israel will become a cup of trembling to the whole world. We're seeing it already. Zechariah 14:1 tells us that. The Jews were still waiting for their Messiah that the prophets of old had promised throughout the ages, but they missed him. There were some that did recognize he had came. The facts concerning Mary point to a humble godly Jewish upbringing. A young lady who submitted herself to the will of God. Mary centered on devotion to Jehovah and to the Word of God. Now, she didn't have the New Testament like we do, but she was known to sing about the Scriptures. In fact, we find that in the latter portion of this chapter. Mary actually has a song of praise, and we find that in the verses after our reading from 46 to 56, Mary sings a song of praise to God. And that kind of touched me. What it tells me is that she knew the source of her resources. How many times have we been troubled and we don't know what to do, but God puts a song in our hearts? And I see that with mothers. I remember my mother-in-law. I would be, just visiting my wife-to-be, and I would hear her humming in the kitchen as she was doing the dishes, and she would be humming songs like Amazing Grace or some song that they had sung at the church. Do you have a song in your heart, Mom? Or do your children just hear you sing secular songs? I think it's a wonderful thing to hear Mom hum or sing a song of praise to God. That was part and parcel of who Mary was. You say, well, I didn't grow up in a great place like Mary. No, let me tell you something. Mary didn't grow up in a great place. Let me give you a little history. She was from the town of Nazareth, a place that had a very, very bad, bad reputation. First century Nazareth was famous for only one thing alone, and that was sin. It was located just 4 miles from the Roman garrison at Sepphora. What does that say? Well, when the soldiers in the army got a few days leave, and got some of their bonus pay, they would go to Nazareth where they could find cheap wine and, as they say, cheap women, prostitutes. And yet, Mary is a virgin. She kept herself pure in a town where it was impure. Now I see a little more why God selected her. She could hold up under peer pressure. Amen. She was tough spiritually. In a town where many of the women had succumbed to the evil and the wickedness of the day to make a fast buck from these Roman soldiers who come from their garrison for R&R. And so, because of this character of godliness and purity, in the fullness of time, Gabriel, an angel of God, a highest archangel, comes to the city of Nazareth. And the angel speaks to this young virgin woman, a woman who has kept herself pure amongst a wicked society. And by the way, most marriage agreements in this day were made when a child was fairly young between parents. And in all likelihood, when Gabriel spoke to her, Mary is still very young, living with her parents, and she's betrothed. That's the word used about the Jewish marriage relationship, betrothed to Joseph, who also is in the line and lineage of King David. And you read it with me, that Gabriel said, "Hail thou that are highly favored." Amen. Wow. Wouldn't that be great if you heard God say that about you? You're highly favored. And not only highly favored, but blessed art thou among women. Now, I came out of Catholicism. And one of the things that Catholicism did was to exalt Mary even above Jesus. And I don't agree with that because it's not biblical. Mary said she was in need of a Savior. If you if you need a Savior, then you're a sinner, and we're all sinners. But on the other hand, I see those in evangelical circles forget to give Mary her just due. Amen? The Bible says she's highly favored. We can give that to her. And that she's blessed among women. We can give that to her. No, we don't pray to Mary. We look to her example, just as we do Paul, Peter, James, and John. She was a vessel unto the Lord. We see Mary's humble existence, and God favored her, and she was not a prideful person to focus on earthly and material things. She was set to fulfill the will of God, and that's not easy. There's some of you that you know what I'm talking about. You've been called by God to go to a hard place. It's interesting to me how today we're seeing a generation of young people be called to places that really are not really that hard. I have a hard time presenting to you missionaries who want to go to Hawaii or Jamaica. Folks, I get these all across my desk all the time. I just don't present them to you. But when I got a newsletter from a mission board about Rachel Landendorfer, who wanted to go to Papua New Guinea, praise God. Now here's a person God's called to go to the hard place to do the hard thing. And she accepted it. Why? Because she humbled herself under the mighty hand of God. God's called you to go to the hard place. He'll give you the resources necessary. I could give you many examples, but I don't keep you here all afternoon. We want to look at Mary's reaction, and we pick that up in verse 29. And when she saw him, she was troubled. I think I'd be troubled too. Although angels can take on the appearance of, men and women. They're neutral, by the way, but they can. And the Bible says, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. She wasn't so much troubled at his appearance. Did you pick that up? So apparently, the angel Gabriel didn't come with, big wings flapping and, light shining so bright that it would knock her off her feet. Now, angels can appear that way. We have a description of them in Ezekiel chapter 1. I think it's Ezekiel chapter 16. Isaiah, we have descriptions of the angels of God, and they're awesome. Some have six wings. God knows us. And he sends an angel just to speak. And the Bible says, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, not his appearance. And cast in her mind what matter of salutation this should be. This greeting, it's unbelievable. It's awesome. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Think about if an angel appeared to you and said, okay, God's called you, and this is what God wants you to do. Now, it may not be what Mary's request was. But maybe God calls you and says, I want you to go to the Ivory Coast of Africa. And I want you to start a church. That's not an easy thing to do. I'm thinking of Brother Bassett, who was called there. And he accepted the calling. And we remember Brother Bassett and his wife. They were there for many years. Mary was not a wealthy woman. She wasn't a powerful woman. But she was the right woman. God knows exactly who to call. And it's a calling. God didn't say, okay, Mary, you got to do this or else. God has given every one of us free will. Amen? I think we're forgetting that in this day of controversy over abortion. Now, as a born-again, Bible-believing Christian, I want to look to the Bible and see what the Bible says about when life begins. And when God speaks to the prophet Jeremiah and says, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I, God Almighty, knew you. So that says to me that once a baby is conceived in the womb, no matter how small, that is a life that Almighty God knows about. He's already imparted a living soul. That's a privilege God has given every mother. I understand there are situations where young people have what they call a burden upon them to raise a child. And the state or the government gives them a loophole to terminate that child. But I also know that God has given you free will. It's your choice. It's your choice. But what is the choice that God would have you do? I don't see any other choice for a Christian. And yet, God has given us free will. Many, many years ago, I was on an ordination committee. And this man and his wife, they were called to the mission field. This was in New Jersey. I was there with a number of other pastors. And this pastor and his wife came to us and said, before we go before the ordination committee, we have a confession to make. And they confessed that they made a choice to terminate their child. But they regretted it. Now what they didn't tell us in the beginning is that was before they became Christians. But that troubled them. And they surrendered their life to full-time Christian service. And they thought that that mistake, that decision, would keep them from being accepted in ministry. I can still see the faces of all the pastors. We were like stunned. They were honest. They confessed it. And they understood that God forgave them. They said, we will see that child in heaven. Yes, God's given us free will, but what choice will we make? An unsaved person doesn't have the wisdom that you and I have as believers. An unsaved person isn't given the privilege of the Holy Spirit in them saying, this is life. Mary was willing to face the adversity and even the rejection of her betrothed husband, Joseph. Because in this day, if you were found pregnant before marriage, did you know that you could be taken to the town courtyard, accused of adultery and stoned to death under Jewish law? And we don't live by that law, thank God. And that's why Jesus died, to remove that, because if you live by the law, you'll die by the law. We live by grace, amen, and forgiveness of God. But yet, I want you to understand not only the challenge that Mary had to be the mother of Jesus, but the challenge she had to live with or without Joseph as a single mother. And if it wasn't for Gabriel or the angel not appearing but presenting himself to Joseph in a dream to take Mary, for that which was conceived in her was of the Holy Ghost, he may have departed from her. Mary probably felt insecure. Mary probably felt unworthy. Mary probably felt inadequate, as many moms feel today when they become moms. But if you're a Christian, you know that God will go before you. God will provide for you, even in the most difficult situations. I'm sure that in this crisis, many moms wonder if they have what it takes to navigate their children and their family through difficult times. But if you're saved and you're born again, you can be like Mary and trust God. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And you just keep calling upon the Lord. Trust Him with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. That's where we all fail. I just don't have enough money in the bank. I just don't have this. I don't have that. You know what? I thank God for the many pro-life pregnancy centers around our country. How many lives they have saved because they came alongside a single mom and said, we're here for you. My wife and I had the wonderful opportunity to visit in Amsterdam, New York, Lifesavers Ministry. What a blessing to see the many volunteers. I mean, the place was so packed with clothes and diapers, and it was a dingy, run-down place. And by the way, down the street, I think it was probably just a mile, there was this huge Planned Parenthood facility. I mean, it was huge. There wasn't a car in the parking lot. We couldn't find a place to park. Because God will bless those things. And there is help. So don't lead under your own understanding. You know, Mary could have said, I'm just a girl. I'm just a teenager. I'm not ready to be a mom. I'm not wealthy. I am not educated. I don't have to come from a rich family. Maybe it would be better if you just get somebody else. But I think Mary, having been brought up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, when met with this challenge, when met with this blessing, she says, behold the handmaid of the Lord. I'm God's handmaid. Here I am. Be it unto me according to thy word. In the vernacular of the day, here I am, Lord. I'm ready to serve. Send me. I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's bondmaid. She had the right perspective. Many of us, we get called in ministry, and we first thing we do is we make excuses. I know, because I've been there, okay? I can say this, because I lived it. But by the grace of God and the moving of the Spirit of God, my wife and I, we overcame. You know, an engaged woman was considered married in the Jewish social economy. A child born during an engagement would have been considered illegitimate. Mary knew that. And yet she says, here I am, Lord. I mean, that carries so many problems. I can't even begin to start the problems that Mary was going to have. And by the way, if you want to know how Mary, and I learned this reading Shannon Breen's book, how Mary was able to deal with this, is she found a friend in Elizabeth. And I've read this text many, many times, but maybe too quickly. Mary attached herself to a godly woman, Elizabeth, and Elizabeth nurtured her through. How many of you women, when you come to difficult times as a mother, seek out godly advice? Do you go to a good Christian woman or institution or service or pastor? Psalm 1 tells us that God does not want His children to seek ungodly advice. And I read this and I thought, wow, that's how she got through all of this. Elizabeth mentored her, and God blessed her. I got to close. I can imagine, though, that Mary was thinking, you know, Joseph is just going to be mad. He's just going to he's just going to get out of this arrangement. And then she probably began to wonder, what's going to happen to me? But God sent Elizabeth, and Elizabeth and her, they nurtured one another. As Mary listened to the angel, you read it with me, she must have wrestled with the consequences that would come in her life if she accepted this call. How am I going to explain this to my family? What about the townspeople? What will they think of me? Am I headed for a life of being a single mom? Mary would probably have to live her whole life under a cloud of suspicion from her family, from her neighbors, from her friends. But Mary recognized this is the calling of God, and Mary accepted with humility the challenge, because it was a challenge of joy, but it was also a challenge of sorrow. I want to read from Shannon Breen's book, just a short passage, and I think it will encourage you moms. It's on page 136. As Mary's joy was great at her son's birth, her sorrow later in his life was just as intense. Moms, motherhood is like that too. Sometimes a confusing mix of emotions. There can be celebration. There can be anxiety. There can be education. There can be exhaustion. There can be depression. Mothers can worry about their children, be perplexed by them, and yet be blessed by them all at the same time. As children grow into their own independence, mothers can wonder what happened to the closeness that they once shared. There are times when motherhood itself may feel like more of a burden than a joy. The endless and frequently thankless work of it all, the exhaustion, the laundry, the cooking, the countless questions, the micromanagement of running a household with small and bigger children. She closes out the chapter. Our faith doesn't require mothers to present that they don't feel overwhelmed. Motherhood will always be a mix of the highest heights and the lowest lows, a reflection of our broader life in a fallen world. There is, folks, no Easter without Calvary. And every mother's journey will be marked by both delight and despair. So let us walk along on Mary's path, discovering ways to navigate both. Unquote. I wish all of you moms would get this book and read it, dads too. Sometimes mothers feel very frustrated because they think they are limited in what they can do for their children. They want the best, and we all do. And sometimes in that frustration of trying to teach their children, mothers fall to their knees and pray, and amen. When you do that, you're going to the source of all of your resources. Your prayers are among the most cherished gifts that you can give a child. And even if that child doesn't recognize, mom's praying for them. God hears. It is the most powerful, loving action any mother can take to accomplish a meaningful difference in the life of one's child. I close with these words from the late Abraham Lincoln, President of the United States. I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all of my life. Unquote. Well, let's have our heads bowed as we reflect a moment. Father, thank you for our moms. Well, Lord, today we want to build them up. We want to encourage them in the good times and the hard times. Lord, there may be a mother among us who doesn't have the resources spiritually to deal with rearing a child. Maybe it's because they never came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. So we cry out to you today on behalf of these mothers that if there is a mom or anyone among us who is not saved, that today they'd recognize that you're a God who loves them. And Jesus Christ came and died in their place. And he rose again from the dead to justify us in the eyes of you, our holy God and Father. And you look upon us now with no sin because of the finished work of Jesus. But, oh God, may we turn in repentance to you first and foremost and acknowledge we're sinners and we need to be saved, just as Mary did. We all need a Savior. Thank you for saving those that are here among us today. Know if they die to go to heaven. But, oh God, pour out your mercy upon those who might be among us who cannot say if they die, they go to heaven. May they be reminded of the words of the Apostle Peter that our God is long-suffering. Our God is a patient and loving God, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Save that soul, Father, that may be nearest the gate of eternal loss. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's take our songbook. And we're going to close with...